Welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Liat Meyerfeld, and I am so excited to learn the book of Vayikra together, starting, of course, with Parashat Vayikra. Vayikra is a book of movement, a dance of the soul, flowing from the inside out and from the outside in. It's not simply a book of laws, it's a choreography of life itself, showing that our inner self and our actions are always in dialogue. At the heart of that movement is a small, quiet point within us, the authentic inner self. From that place, life flows outward. Our words, our relationships, our work, our commitments, they're meant to be expressions of something deeper. That is movement from the inside out. But the dance never moves in only one direction. Our actions shape us in return. The discipline of mitzvot, the structure of ritual, the precision of detail, they refine the soul. A person becomes what they repeatedly do. Character is formed through conscious action. Torah isn't merely information to be studied. It transforms the inner being. Actions penetrate inward. Life becomes a rhythm. Inner intention shaping outer action refining inner being. And with that understanding, we look to the opening moment of the book of Vayikra. The Mishkan has been built, every detail completed, every vessel placed, and then the cloud descends. The glory of Hashem fills the space. The presence is so overwhelming that even Moshe cannot enter. Moshe stands outside. After all the building, after all the preparation, imagine that moment outside with all the weight of longing, distance, and waiting for the start of this spiritual choreography. The book of Vayikra begins when Hashem calls, Vayikra el Moshe, and he called to Moshe. Close your eyes and imagine that scene. No, open your eyes and read it in the text, because the text is telling. Look carefully at that first word. In the Torah, the Aleph of Vayikra is written small, a tiny Aleph. That small Aleph changes everything. Without it, the word would read Vayikra, and Hashem happened upon Moshe. Coincidence, something that just happened, a random encounter. With the Aleph, it becomes Vayikra, and he called, specifically, with intention, a direct calling, not chance, not accident, a call. Moshe is outside, and often we are too. The Torah is teaching us that there's always a voice calling inward. The small Aleph transforms randomness into relationship. Chazal also noticed that when Hashem appears to the pagan prophet Bilam, the Torah uses Vayikra, an encounter by chance, but to Moshe it is Vayikra, a call. Rashi explains that every communication to Moshe was preceded by a loving call, kri'ah, the language of angels. The Baal HaTurim adds that Moshe in humility preferred Vayikra, that it just happened. Hashem insisted on the Aleph to show their relationship was intentional. So Moshe wrote it, but he wrote it small. The Midrash goes one step further. It suggests that Moshe, having completed his writing of all the five books, was left with a small portion of unused divine ink. After all, Hashem had dictated Vayikra with a big Aleph, and Moshe had only written it with a small one, leaving the ink that would have formed a full Aleph unused. The Midrash concludes that Hashem himself lovingly placed that extra ink on Moshe's forehead, giving him rays of splendor. Behind this beautiful description lies profound meaning. Moshe didn't transfer all of the divine will to the Torah parchment. As the Rambam explains in Moreh Nevuchim, Guide for the Perplexed, Moshe was on the highest level of prophecy. Only he could fully comprehend Hashem's will. He wrote down and explained as much as could be understood by Yehoshua and the elders. The rest remained within his mind and soul. The extra ink on his forehead represents the layers of Torah knowledge that were too deep to communicate, yet emanated outward as radiant light. The Sfas Emes teaches that Vayikra with a full Aleph is the Torah that Hashem taught to Moshe, but Vayikra with a small Aleph is the Torah that was lovingly taught to us in a way that we could comprehend and observe. Hashem calls to each of us to come close to him and be agents of his will. Every word of Torah is intentional. When we learn the details, we connect thoughtfully. That small Aleph is the story of Jewish existence. The difference between Mikra, a calling, and Mikre, mere happenstance, is almost imperceptible. They look similar. Only an Aleph separates them, and the Aleph is nearly silent. The Torah is teaching us something profound. Do not expect Hashem's presence always to be in thunder and lightning. It may be as silent as a single small Aleph. The first Luchot were given with noise and spectacle, and they shattered. The second, given quietly to Moshe, endured. Hashem reveals himself in the still, small voice. That Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the first letter of the Ten Commandments, Anochi, I. The Aleph represents the divine. It's open in all directions, and yet it's almost inaudible. It depends on other letters to make a sound. It's infinite, yet it's expressed only through relationship. Perhaps the Aleph is small at the beginning of Vayikra to teach that Hashem is found not only in great events, but in kol dmama daka, a still small voice, in the small gestures that fill our days, acts of kindness, moments of listening, learning, helping, loving, and building a better. Even the word korban, translated as sacrifice, it comes from the root korov, to draw near. Through action, we draw close. Every korban is another step in the choreography, a movement that brings heaven and earth nearer to one another. Vayikra is filled with details, procedures, measurements, offerings, actions. At first glance, they may seem too technical, but the Torah is teaching that holiness lives in the details. This is why Vayikra is called Sefer Kohanim, the book of the priests, and why the Torah calls the Jewish people a Mamlechet Kohanim, a kingdom of priests. Holiness isn't reserved for a spiritual elite. It's a calling extended to all of us. The small Aleph represents that inner awareness. When we live with intention, when we bring consciousness of Hashem to what we do, we enter the dance. Our inner world shapes our actions refine our inner world, inside to outside, outside to inside. The Mishkan itself becomes a model of the human condition. There is an inner space filled with Hashem's presence. At times we may feel outside, as Moshe did, but there is always a call. And when we respond, not coincidentally, but intentionally, the technical becomes spiritual. The details become meaningful. The ordinary becomes sacred. Life itself becomes a Mishkan. And perhaps this is the deepest invitation of Sefer Vayikra. Hashem calls us into his world. Vayikra, he calls. Through Torah, through mitzvot, through the quiet details of holy living, we step into the divine space. And then something remarkable happens. Through those same actions, through kindness, discipline, prayer, responsibility, we bring Hashem into our world as well. Vayikra is not only about entering the Mishkan, it is about turning our lives into one. Hashem calls us, we respond intentionally, and together heaven and earth meet. This book is also called the Book of Holiness, Sefer Kiddushah. The rituals, the details, the sacrifices, all are teaching us that true holiness arises from aligning inner awareness with outer action. We will find the sacrifices with all their details, the chagim, business laws. These are all tools, tools we are given to assist our movement. It's the movement towards Kiddushah, the living, flowing holiness that transforms our lives. And today, every verse calls out to us, where are you in your journey to holiness? Where are you and where do you want to be? What is your goal? Where are you truly found? Do you want to repair, to rejoice? Do you want to exist fully? Do you want to rise? Vayikra invites us to that dialogue with Hashem, ourselves and the world, to move intentionally, to dance with consciousness, and to cultivate holiness in every action. This is the dance of Vayikra, a dance between heaven and earth. Let's look at the first movement, a person who expresses themselves through an olah sacrifice. If you are wealthy, you can bring expensive cattle. If you're less wealthy, you can bring by your ability. A person puts his hand on the olah offering. Then Kohanim come and slaughter it. The blood is thrown on the mizbeach. The meat is butchered, and then a fire is lit on the altar, and all the parts of the meat are burned on the altar. We read these gory details, this slaughterhouse description, but it ends telling us it is reich nichoach, a pleasing smell. Remember the small aleph? Hashem is calling. Do you want to come close to me? This olav movement starts adam ki yakriv, when a person brings a korban according to his will. A person has to want this. An ola is based on personal desire. You can stay home and not bring an ola. The ola is a voluntary offering. This person has done everything they need to do and now volunteers to also bring this. Why? Why would a person want to be an ola? They go to work, come home, spend time with family, dinner, a normal life. Why would they choose to enter this process, to suddenly say, I want to be an ola? Adam ki yakriv, a person wants to. This is a normal, regular person who says, it's not enough. I want more. There's a desire stirring in me. I feel a bit distant. I want to come closer. I'm looking for meaning, looking for focus. The ola is burnt completely on the mizbeach. A person says, this is my entire desire. Achat sha'alti. I need this time to block out my regular life, to disconnect, to connect completely with Hashem. Today, we do this through personal prayer. When we have a need to daven something extra, to close off the world and connect, to talk to Hashem. It's not that something specifically good or bad has happened. Those are other movements. This movement comes from the deepest place of needing to replug to the source. This first korban we are told about, the voluntary ola, teaches us that the relationship with Hashem is built when we bring ourselves by choice. Adam ki yakriv, when we choose to come near. Korban mincha is a similar momentum. It differs in that it's brought from flour, not an animal. And why the korban olah is completely burnt on the mizbeach, the korban mincha is partially given to the kohanim. The olah is given from a pure life force. The mincha, on the other hand, represents human effort. The mindset of the mincha is also of connection, of giving something of myself to the relationship. Flour is specifically something that symbolizes the partnership between a person and Hashem. Natural wheat that grows is then processed by a human. The gifting of the mincha symbolizes bringing one's daily life and labor to Hashem. Interestingly, the Torah specifically forbids bringing chametz in the mincha. We're preparing for Pesach. We often learn that chametz is the symbol of the ego, basic grain bloated with air. You can't bring that inflated ego to the mincha. Need to recognize that I'm bringing the fruits of my labor to the mizbeach because Hashem is my partner. Only with Him have I accomplished this. Need to leave the ego behind to build relationship. I bring my most basic self, knowing I'm connected to Him. Honey is also forbidden because it's a symbol of the extra. In idol worship, many sacrifices were coated in honey. This honey coating hides the real self. When we bring a korban, it has to be genuine. But we are told to add salt. Al kol korbancha takriv melach. Why do korbanot need salt? A beautiful midrash describes a conversation between the waters and Hashem during creation. Hashem separated the upper waters from the lower waters, and the midrash describes how the lower waters felt they'd been pushed into a more distant physical realm, while the upper waters remained in the spiritual heavens. In response to this distance, Hashem promised that the lower waters would still have a role in the holy service. That promise is fulfilled in the world of korbanot. Every sacrifice must be brought with salt, and the salt represents the waters of the sea. In addition, during Sukkot, water itself is brought to the altar. What we have here is called the Brit Melach, the covenant of salt, a reminder that even the most physical elements of the world can be drawn into divine service and elevated through the korban. Everyone has a minhag to bring salt to the Shabbat table. This practice comes from here. We show that our Shabbat table is like a mincha. It is our desire to connect with Hashem. We work all week grinding flour, so to speak, and Shabbos is our weekly date with Hashem. Us, Hashem, and Shabbat are connected through the covenant of salt. And then we're introduced to the Shlamim person. The Shlamim person is happy. He's had something positive happen to him, and he brings a sacrifice that is partial for himself, partial for the Kohanim, and partial on the altar. Spread the joy. This is the joyful dance of feeling complete. Shalem also means peace. This person has recognized that something in this world has brought him true joy, and he feels inner peace. That inner peace is expressed by connecting with Hashem and Shlamim. There is the ultimate completion. The next movement is the chatat. A person bringing a chatat is described nefesh ki techeta, a person that sins. Notice the difference in language. With an olah, the text reads adam, when a person wants to come close. Here, it uses the term nefesh, the life force. Adam refers to the fully conscious moral person acting intentionally, while nefesh refers to the instinctive life force. Since a chatat is brought for an inadvertent sin, the Torah attributes the failure to the nefesh, the less deliberate level of self. Torah doesn't say Adam ki yechta, because sin doesn't define the deepest identity of a human being. When a person rises, the Torah calls them Adam, the full human being. When they fall, it speaks only about the nefesh that slipped out of alignment. The essential Adam remains intact. This is the small aleph. Everything is specific. The nefesh is not an intentional sinner. A mistake happens, and the Torah speaks to this person that stumbled and shows him a way back. This is the rehabilitation process. We're specifically told about leaders that bring a chatat. How incredible to be part of a people where the leadership also takes responsibility for mistakes, without judgment. Then the asham is described. Asham is similar to the chatat, which covers general unintentional sins. The asham is reserved for a unique set of circumstances and the process to repair it. And lastly, the asham telui. A person thinks that maybe he did something wrong. This is such an interesting psychological insight. A person has not definitely done something wrong. He thinks he might have sinned. An example of this was Eov. Every day he brought sacrifices for his children. Maybe someone had done something wrong. There are two types of people who could bring an asham talui. The first is the person that is usually very meticulous, and in one instance they were careless. Since they always want to be careful, they bring an asham talui. The other person is a little bit of an obsessive person who brings a sacrifice just in case. He's the person who needs to cover all his bases, the person who perhaps is always anxious. The Torah wrote in that little aleph deals sensitively with this psychological state too. Sefer Vayikra comes after the initial buildup of the world in Sefer Bereshit, the development of the nation in Sefer Shmot, and now this in the middle, the pinnacle of the Torah. After the spiritual high of Mount Sinai, Sefer Vayikra teaches how this high can be achieved on a regular daily basis. Although there seems to be very little dramatic action in the book of Vayikra, it's here that the real action takes place, the inner life of the individual soul and the soul of the community in their connection with Hashem. Vayikra, Hashem calls and the people respond. Harmonious combination of the two elements of duality. This is the very essence of Torah. It takes two opposing entities, the physical and the spiritual, and it teaches us how to create from them a third entity, the peaceful fusion of the mundane and the holy. With a little Aleph Vayikra, Hashem calls to us all to be intentional spiritual individuals. Adam ki yakriv, when a person brings a korban, he comes karov, close to Hashem. Bringing Vayikra and Yakriv together, we see that these acts can move multilaterally in both directions between ourselves and Hashem. Hashem reaches and calls for us, and simultaneously we reach and call for Hashem. Vayikra is a book about people, about us and how we process events, how we think and behave and rethink. It's a book about our society and how we develop it, how we keep it focused on what is real and true and good, building our relationship with Hashem. It's about incidents that happen by us and ones that happen to us, and how we continuously move forward.